I began studying this message some time back and really got in depth with it this week. And this is one of those times when I've honestly got to say I don't believe I've enjoyed studying a message out more than I enjoyed this one this week. And the Lord just came down and it was just wonderful to feel God's presence as we got into His Word. And I tell you what, I pray that it will be a blessing to you this morning like it blessed me. But I want you to look in Luke chapter 1 and begin in verse number 26 with me, if you would. And if you're there, we'd ask you to stand this morning, once again, if you can, as we honor the reading of God's holy Word. The Bible says that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. This morning we're going to look at part three in our series entitled, What We Have Learned from the Christmas Story. And this morning we'd like to preach to you a message entitled, Mary, Pure, Prepared, and Privileged. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your holy Word. Lord, I thank You that we can see, Lord, Your plan put into motion. Oh, Lord, I thank You for sending Jesus. Lord, I thank You that You gave Your only begotten Son to come to this world, Lord, take on flesh, leave the glories of heaven, Lord, I thank You, and took on flesh, Lord, and live here among us, Lord, for a little over 33 years. And Lord, He gave His life. Lord, willingly, He shed His blood. And Lord, that all of our sins could be forgiven, that we could have eternal life if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. Oh, Lord, I thank You for all that Jesus has done, and for all that He means unto us this morning. Bless the reading of Your Word, I pray. Lord, use Your servant this morning to preach. Lord, I'm thankful for Your presence. I'm thankful for Your Spirit today. Lord, I thank You for Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray that if there's one here today, Lord, that's lost, oh, Lord, I pray they see just how Jesus came for them. Lord, how He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, to redeem them by His own precious blood. And Lord, we'll love You and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in the sixth month, and this was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. And the Bible says in the sixth month, God dispatched an angel by the name of Gabriel, to come unto Mary. Mary was a virgin. Mary had not known a man. Mary was espoused unto a man by the name of Joseph, who was of the household of David. And there's some people today that would say, well, you know, I don't believe in this virgin birth thing because the word virgin, it means a young woman. Others will say, well, you know, the virgin birth is not all that important. You know, what's the big deal about whether or not Mary was a virgin? But the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 13, I believe it is, in verse 8, that the Bible said that the Lamb of God has been slain since before the foundation of the world. And we see that God, before you and I were ever created, before this world was ever round, God already had a plan to redeem you and I from our sinfulness. And I thank God today that God had a plan to redeem me. Someone as unworthy as I am, someone as undeserving as I am, someone as sinful as I am, but God in His love and grace and mercy had a plan before the foundation of the world to send His only Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's tree, that by His blood I can be saved and washed clean. And I thank God for that today. But I want us to look this morning and focus on Mary for just a moment. Because Mary here, the Bible says, was chosen of God to fulfill this divine assignment. This divine assignment of giving birth unto God's Holy Son. And someone would say today, well, why exactly was Mary chosen? I mean, you think about this. Most scholars tend to believe today that Mary was a teenager at this time, about 14 to 15 years old. I want you to picture in your mind a young teenage girl here, about 14, 15 years old, and all of a sudden an angel shows up unto her and tells her that she's highly favored among all women and she's blessed of God and she has this divine assignment to carry out, that she is to be the one that fulfills the prophecies of Isaiah, that she would be the virgin that would bear a son and that his name would be called Emmanuel. I want you to picture the fact of this young lady, and I want us to figure out why exactly was Mary chosen. Why couldn't it have been another female that was chosen? Why couldn't it have been an older female that was chosen? I believe God chose Mary for specific reasons. And I believe if we look at the Word of God today, I believe we can find out exactly what those specific reasons are. The first thing I want you to see this morning as we look in this Scripture is that Mary was a chosen vessel. Now I want to tell you why Mary was a chosen vessel. Because the Bible says in verse 26 that in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent unto God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We see that Mary was a chosen vessel. But why was Mary chosen? Out of all the ladies of the area, why was Mary chosen to carry out this most important assignment in humanity? Number one, I believe she was chosen because of her parentage. And what I mean by that is because of the lineage. If you'll go back into Matthew chapter 1, you'll find out that the one that she was espoused to, the man by the name of Joseph, was of the lineage of David. And the Bible tells us here that in verse number 32, that Jesus would be called great, would be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. You say, but Joseph wasn't the Lord's father. Biologically speaking, he wasn't. Legally speaking, Joseph was. And the Bible said that Joseph, in Matthew 1 and 16, had been begotten through the lineage of David. I believe Mary was chosen today because of her parentage. But secondly, I believe Mary was chosen today because of her purity. Do you know, if God is going to give you and I a divine assignment today, then we must be obedient unto the Lord and pure in heart to carry out the assignment that God would give us. And the Bible said in verse number 27 that this angel was sent to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, I want to show you today why it's so important that Mary was a virgin. And by the way, I want to say, before we go any further, that I believe 100% that Mary was a virgin. I don't believe that word means a young woman. I don't believe that word means anything else except what it means, that she was a virgin. She had not had any relations with a man at any point in time in her life up to this point, and God brought Jesus through the womb of this virgin. I believe that with all of my heart. But I want to show you why it's so important today that we understand that Jesus came through Mary, who, by the way, was a virgin. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking, he said, "Wherefore by as by one man sin," now notice the word man, "wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for in all have sinned." Folks, the reason that Jesus Christ came to be born of a virgin was because not only are the human characteristics, the human nature passed down through the man, but also the sin nature is passed down through the man. The Bible says, "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world." Why did sin not enter into the world through Eve? It was not Eve the first one that sinned. Why didn't Paul say by one woman that sin entered into the world? Because the sin nature is not passed down through the woman. The sin nature is passed down through the man. That is why Jesus could be born of human flesh, but yet not receive the sin nature of the world, because there was no male involved in His birth. And the Bible said by one man sin. See, if Mary was not a virgin, then Jesus was not sinless. If Mary was not a virgin, and if Jesus was not sinless, then Jesus wasn't the perfect sacrifice. Jesus wasn't the propitiation for our sins. Therefore, we are still dead in sins and trespasses, because no perfect sacrifice has been given unto God which would satisfy the wrath and the justice of a holy God. Folks, we better know and we better understand, He had better be born of a virgin, or we're still lost in our sins. The Bible says Mary was chosen because of her purity. Over in Galatians chapter 4, I want you to follow me on this now. This is a real important point, and this needs to be one we all understand. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." Now I want you to mark what it says right here next, because here's what we need to understand. It said, "God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. No male had any part whatsoever in the formation and the making of the body of Jesus. None." And we need to understand that is an important thing. He was made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Folks, Mary was chosen because of her purity. Folks, she had had no relations whatsoever with a man. Therefore, she was the perfect vessel for God to bring forth His Son. Thirdly, not only was she chosen because of her parentage and because of her purity, but she was chosen because of her passion. And in verse number 38, after all the explaining was done and after all the questions was done, Mary said in verse number 38 unto the angel, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Look what happened in verse number 39. She has been given a divine assignment by God. What happened when she got the assignment? In verse number 39, she said, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." You know what happened to Mary? Mary got excited. Mary got excited that God had come and visited her and gave her a divine assignment. Let me tell you why Mary was chosen. Mary was chosen because of the passion she had to fulfill the Word of God.
Many times you'll ask somebody to help out with something and they'll give you 400 excuses. Or sometimes they'll tell you that this or that. Or I just don't really want to. Or I just not into it. And sometimes they'll just give you a flat out no. But aren't you glad today that Mary, when God came down and said, I've got something for you to do, she said, be it unto me, Lord, just as you say. She got all excited and she went into the hill country and she told Zacharias and Elizabeth, hallelujah, that Mary got excited about doing the will of God. Would to God we'd get excited about doing God's will. She had passion for the Lord. And not only was she chosen because of her passion, she was chosen because of her preparation. Mary begins to praise the Lord. And in verses 46 through 48, she praises Him and says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And I want to show you why that's important. If you go back and you read in the Old Testament, and the first thing, if you'll go back to 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, you'll find a song of praise by a lady by the name of Hannah. And Hannah was given a son by the name of Samuel. And Hannah began to praise the Lord. And in the same way, almost using the same words that Mary used here in Luke 1, Hannah used in 1 Samuel 1 and 2. You know what that tells me about Mary? It tells me Mary knew the Word of God. Now, not only did she use the words from 1 Samuel 1 and 2, but you'll also read she used the words quoted almost word for word, the verses from Psalm 35 and 9, 98 and 3, and 103 and 17. And I could give you a long list of other psalms as well. You know what that told me about Mary? It told me Mary knew the Word of God. Now listen to me, teens. Mary was 14 years old and she could quote the Word of God. And you know what that tells me? God looked down at Mary, Brother Jesse, and said, that gal knows the Word. She's prepared for this assignment. Folks, let me tell you something. You're never going to be prepared for what God has for you unless you know the Word of God. Amen. You'll never be prepared for God's will for your life. You'll never be prepared for what comes your way. You'll never be prepared for the trials and the tribulations. You won't even be prepared for the blessings God has for you unless you know the Word of God. She was prepared. Mary was a chosen vessel because of her purity, her passion, and her preparation. And secondly, Mary was a capable vessel. Mary was capable of doing what God had asked her to do. Let me show you why Mary was capable to do what God had asked her to do. Number one, because she would trust in God's plan. She had a trust in God's plan. The Bible said, here's the plan. In verse 31 said, Mary, I'm going to tell you the plan right here. Behold, you're going to conceive in your womb a son, and you're going to call His name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. Listen, here's the plan unfolding. He said, and the Lord God, here's the biggest part of the plan, the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. Hallelujah. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Oh, and I love this last part. And of His kingdom there shall be no end. Glory to the Lamb of God. Do you see the plan? Mary trusted in God's plan. She was capable of doing what God asked her to do because she trusted in the plan of God.
You want to know how I know she trusted in the plan of God? Because of the prophecy of Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7. That He will establish His kingdom and rule over the house of Jacob forever. And if Mary knew the Word of God, and I've already proven to you that she did know the Word of God, she knew this was God's plan. And she trusted in the plan of God. Oh, I love this plan. Because this plan tells me this. Oh, hallelujah for the plan of God. I'm glad God's got a plan.
I'm glad He don't walk around wondering what He's going to do next. But I'm glad He's got a plan. Hallelujah. Oh, we need plans like that. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah for the plan of God. She was a capable vessel because she trusted in God's plan. She was a capable vessel because she trusted in God's purpose. It's good to have a plan, but then you got to ask, what's the purpose for the plan? Why is there even a plan in place in the first place? I'm going to tell you why. Because in verse number 31, He said, "By the way, Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, shalt call His name Jesus." Oh, the name Jesus explains the purpose of God's plan. Why was He going to establish a kingdom? Why was He going to rule and reign forever? Because He had came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah! For the purpose of God's plan. You say, how do you get that, preacher? Because I know the name of Jesus means this: Jehovah is salvation. Oh, just by speaking the name of Jesus, you understand the purpose of Christ was to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, I'm glad today this fulfilled what the angel told unto Joseph in Matthew 1 and 21 when He told Joseph that you're going to call the child by the name of Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. It confirmed what the prophecy of the angels told the shepherds when it said, "Lo, unto you this day born in the city of David is a Savior, Christ the Lord." It confirmed what the Word of God tells us today, that in the fullness of time, God would send forth His Son to be made of a woman to redeem you and I today. It fulfills the word of 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 when it says, "He who knew no sin was made sin for you and I so that we could be the righteousness of God in Him." It confirms God's purpose. And she was a capable vessel. Not only because she trusted in His plan and trusted in His purpose, but she trusted in God's power. Oh, listen to me, church. You might be here today and be going through something. Let me tell you, God has the power to get you through it. God has the power to turn those circumstances into a blessing for your life. God has the power to make all things new. The Bible says, Mary asked the question and said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Verse 35, the angel said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." Ah, praise the Lamb of God, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Oh, glory! Somebody could get plugged in to the power source of God. Oh, we need a filling of the Holy Ghost so we can receive the power of the Highest. Mary trusted in the power of God, because with God all things are possible. And look what happens. The angel said, not only are you going to conceive, not only is the Holy Spirit going to come unto you, but by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, she's conceived too. By the way, she's a little older than you are, but she's conceived as well. And you know what? By the way, this is her 6th month. And all her life she was called barren. Because, Mary, what I want to show to you today is that for with God, all things are possible. Mary stopped asking questions at that point. Mary never mentioned another question unto the angel. Mary never asked another thing. The Bible says in verse number 38 that all she said was, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Oh, let me tell you something. Today, if you trust in the power of God, God answers all questions. If you trust in the power of God, God takes away all doubts and fear. If you
trust in the power of God, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that dwelleth within us. And not only was she chosen and capable, but she was a cherished vessel as well. Mary was a cherished vessel. God cherished Mary. Hallelujah. You know what that tells me? God cherishes me. God loves me. God thinks the world of me. Praise His name. You know why she was cherished? Because, number one, she was accepted. She was accepted by God. The Bible says in verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." That word "highly favored," it literally translates to mean to make accepted, to endue with a special honor. It comes from the Greek word "cheritu," which means to make accepted, which, by the way, the same word is translated in your King James Bible in Ephesians 1 and 6 as being accepted when Paul tells us that we are accepted in the Beloved. And the Bible tells us here that when the angel come unto Mary and said, "Thou art highly favored," he was saying, "Mary, I want you to know I accept you. I accept the life that you're living. I accept the testimony that you have. I accept the purity that you offer. I accept the heart of submission. I accept all of who you are." I'm telling you right now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you are accepted in the blood. This world may not accept you, by the way. I'll just tell you, they won't accept you. This world's not going to accept you. If they hated the prophets, they're going to hate you and I. If this world hates Jesus, they're going to hate you and I. But there'll be one that will always accept us. Your own friends may not accept you. Your own family may not accept you. Your own neighbors may not accept you. But there'll be one that will always accept you. The Son of God, the King of Kings, the Great I Am. He'll always accept you for who you are. Hallelujah. She was accepted. Secondly, the reason she was cherished was not only because she was accepted, but it was because she was affirmed. The Bible says, "Blessed art thou," in verse 28, "among women." Blessed art thou among women. Now, the word "blessed," and I don't get into a lot of Greek lessons or anything. The word "blessed" comes from the Greek word "eulogio," and it's where we get our English word "eulogy" from today. When you go to a funeral, you'll hear somebody stand up and give a eulogy of that deceased person. You go to a funeral, you'll have somebody stand up and eulogize someone else. And that word "eulogy" or "eulogio" or "blessed," as the King James translates it, means to speak well of. And when God was telling Mary, "Blessed art thou among women," He was telling Mary, "Hey Mary, of all the women in this world, I want you to know God speaks well of you. I like that. Blessed art thou among women." You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that. I don't." But God's no respecter of person. He's not going to speak any well of Mary and not speak well of somebody else. Oh, hold your tongue just a second. Because the Bible tells me that God in heaven bragged on somebody else one day. And in the Bible, in the book of Job chapter 1, the Bible said, "Oh, Satan, come out there, begin to accuse God about Job." And the Bible says in verse number 8 of Job 1, "The Lord said unto Satan," I like this, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Let me brag on him just a little bit to you. "Oh, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Oh, I'm telling you right now, there was a day in the Old Testament where God picked one man and up in heaven was bragging on him to the devil. I'm going to tell you right now, God was bragging on Mary. Said, "Hey Mary, I want you to know among every woman in this world, God's bragging on you. God's speaking well about you." Oh church, let me tell you something. You and I that are bought with the blood of Jesus, we've been adopted into the family of God. God speaks well of us. Wouldn't you rather Wouldn't you rather have somebody eulogize you now while you're alive and can hear it and enjoy it than to wait until you're dead and you don't even hear them no more? Wouldn't you rather have somebody give you your roses now while you're alive than to worry about giving them to you after you're already gone? Oh, God was eulogizing Mary. Oh, don't you remember the day that the lady broke the costly ointment and anointed the Lord Jesus? And the Bible said that everywhere this gospel would be preached, a memorial of that act would be preached along with it. Why? Because Jesus was speaking well of the action that was done. Mary was affirmed. God spoke well of her. And Mary was a cherished vessel. Not only because she was accepted and affirmed, but because she was assured. And the Bible said, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Mary got a little frightened there for a minute. I mean, you think about that now. 14, 15-year-old girl. Bless her loving heart. She was as pure as she could be. She wasn't out there dilly-dallying in the world and all kinds of crazy nonsense. She was just serving the Lord, doing the best she could. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears unto her. And here's Gabriel himself comes and appears unto her. And you know what the Bible said? She got a little antsy there. She got a little scared, a little frightened. She got a little nervous about this thing. You know what? And you know what that angel told her? "Fear not. Fear not." Oh, church, if you'll listen real good in the midst of your circumstances and trials in this life, you'll hear the Holy Spirit still telling you today, "Fear not. Fear not. For I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I am He which was alive and which was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." Oh, I'm telling you right now, no matter what comes to you in this life, God can give you a peace that passes all understanding. He will bring assurance unto your heart that nobody else will give you. Now, I want to show you what I believe. What I believe, one of the reasons why Mary was affrighted. Now, I want to show you this and then we're done. The Bible says this. Let me get back there real fast. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 1. All right? In Luke chapter 1. And I want us to go just a little bit on down into verse 48. And we're going to get into the Song of Mary here. And in verse number 48, the Bible says, "For He," meaning God, "hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden." Now, I did a little study on this low estate. And the low estate means a humiliation. A humble spirit, so to speak. But it's a humiliation or an humbleness because an individual realizes their sinfulness. And so when Mary was praising God and saying, "God has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden," she was saying, "You know what I realized? I realized I wasn't worthy of this assignment. I realized that I'm a sinner that needs saved just like everybody else. I realized I'm no more qualified in my own eyes than anybody else was. But God hath recognized the low estate of His handmaiden." Oh, aren't you glad today? You are sinful like I am. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God recognized your low estate. God recognized that you weren't worthy. God recognized that you couldn't earn it or deserve it. But yet God, by His grace, came to where you were at. And He lifted you up out of the miry clay. And He washed you in His precious blood. And He set your feet on a firm foundation. Did you deserve it? No. Could you have earned it? No. Were you moral enough to get it? No. He observed your low estate, but yet He still came to where you were at. And I read of the same thing in 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. And I'll end right here. I promise you. In 2 Samuel 9, this confirms what I'm telling you. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, there was a fella by the name of David. And he was the king. And David goes up basically unto his servants. And in verse number 1, he said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of Saul by the name of Ziba. And Ziba said, "Oh, by the way, king, there is one yet that still lives of the house of Saul. His name is Mephibosheth." And David said, "Hey, go get that old boy and bring him back in." And they brought Mephibosheth unto David. And they fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amniel, from Lodabar, in verse 5, the Bible says. And the Bible says in verse 6 that when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face. I'm seeing Mary right here when the angel showed up. He fell on his face and he did reverence. Why did Mephibosheth do reverence? He did reverence. David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not." You see that assurance? "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore unto thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table content." Boy, don't you see Jesus in this, brother? Amen. Hang with me. And Mephibosheth, that's that little word "he" right there. This is Mephibosheth now. He bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon a dead dog as I am?" Who in the world was I that God would look upon me, an old dead dog as I am, and show me kindness? Let me tell you who Saul was. Saul was the king of Israel that had apostatized and left the blessings of God. And he had a son by the name of Jonathan that made a covenant with David. And Jonathan bore a son by the name of Mephibosheth. And when he was trying to run away, the servant fell. And it destroyed his legs, basically. He's lame. And you know who Saul's family was? Saul's family was the one that all the time was trying to kill David. So here we've got a king now who knows that all these people were out to kill him. But yet that king says, "Is there still one left of them that I can show kindness to?" Let me tell you what Jesus did. He looks at every one of you and I today, and He's the king. And He looks at us and He says, "They're the ones that I gave my life for. They're the ones that I shed my blood for. It was because of their sin that I had to die. But oh Father, is there not just one of them left that I can show kindness to?" Oh, let me tell you something. Who in the world are we that God would show His kindness unto us? Who am I that God would show kindness unto me, an old dead dog like I am? Oh, but thanks be to God because of His grace and His mercy that He gave an old sinful wretch like me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He loved me. My sin destroyed the Savior. My sin caused Him to give His life. My sin took Him to the cross. But yet He still places me at His table and gives me bread forever. Hallelujah to God. And He does every bit of that to every one of you today. Those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, He looked down to you and He said, "There's one. There's one I can show kindness to. There's another. There's another." Oh, is there not just one? Oh, church, sinner, listen to me today. Is there not just one more today that God can show His kindness to? Oh, let me tell you right now, God is wanting to show you kindness today. He wants to cleanse you by the blood of His only Son. And He wants to set you at His table and provide for your every need until the day you leave this place. God wants to do that for you today. Why would we ever think about turning that down? Do you see how wonderful Mary was? Oh, Mary was a chosen vessel of God. She was a capable vessel of God. And she was a cherished vessel of God. Sinner, God sent His only Son for you today to seek and to save you who are lost. What do we ever do for Him as a sinner? Nothing. Nothing. Never done a thing for Him. Our sins caused Him to go to the cross. But yet, just as David sought out to do kindness to the family that tried their best to kill him, God today seeks out people today to show kindness to them, even though their sins cost His Son His life. Oh, don't turn Him down today. Why don't you come?